Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Another day, another decline. It's kind of getting to be the norm, isn't it? And this is unique. This is a unique norm. The markets in the U.S. have never declined so far, so fast. Never. The closest was back in, I think, 1934. So this is unique, but it is also a unique situation in the history of the stock market, because remember, we only have accurate records, really good records on stocks going back to 1926. There really wasn't much stock trading happening during the 1918 pandemic. If there was, the results would probably have been worse. But remember, in 1918, we were still a baby manufacturing economy, heavily agricultural. There weren't a lot of stocks to own back then. And there wasn't a Federal Reserve. There was very little U.S. government. The government had almost no tax revenues. It was a different world, very different world from today. So this is hitting us hard because it's so unique. Because people who trade markets, and some investors, don't like uncertainty. They hate it. But we have to deal with this from a logical, sensible, better thought out position. So let's do this. Here's a great exercise. Let's talk today about how low the market can go. How far can it fall? Seems like a reasonable question. Right now, we know we're down. The S&P 500 is down about 35%. The global market, let me just look up the All-Country World Index, which is about 13,000 stocks. Let's see. That is down over the month by about, let me do the percentages here, about 33%. We're down by about a third. Let's use a third. Good number. The markets have lost about a third of their value in the last month. How far can they fall? How big a loss? Well, we'll start with the absolute worst case. Let's go with 100. Can the global stock market fall 100%? Now think about that for a minute. Can it? Well, sure, it can, but it would require something far more extraordinary than a virus that will eventually go away. They always do, or they always have. It's the nature of viruses. I'm not going to get into the science of viruses and the reason they mutate so quickly, but it's the science of viruses. It's based on science. So eventually, COVID, corona, not the beer, this is going to go away, and we will still have a global economy. We will. It's not going to kill all of us. It's not even going to kill a majority of us. Look how many people are already recovering. So, a 100% decline, that's going to mean there is no economy left on the planet. None. You will be eventually living in a cave and fighting for your next meal, and there won't be a lot of people left because we will have killed each other off. So let's just toss 100% out the window. Now, 90% is going to be similar. Even 80, it means about 80% of the global economy stopped working completely and never came back. We forget that stock markets are not a zero-sum game. For every increase, there is not a commensurate decrease. That is not the way it works. The markets rise more than they fall because the global economy becomes more valuable over time. It always has. It has for 2,000 plus years. I can't give you the statistics. I can give you the statistics for 2,000. I can go get those. I can't give them to you for 8 or 10 or 12 or 100,000 years because they didn't keep records. Not good ones. But I'm pretty confident it's been growing the whole time we've been around. So, it's likely to grow again. It's far more likely it's going to grow again. So let's say, okay, historically, what's been the worst? Well, the worst year we've ever seen, ever in the history of stock markets, in a global stock market, is a decline of right at 50%, about half. That was in 2008. We've already borne that. We've lived through that, any of us who were investors. So we know we can do that. We didn't like it, but we know we can do it. We came out on the other side of it. So let's use that as our worst case scenario, shall we? Because I have a hard time imagining it getting much worse than that. Again, because eventually the economy will turn, even if it's 2 or 3 or 4 years. I don't imagine it taking that long, but it's going to do it someday. So let's assume that's our worst case scenario. Now, that's for somebody who has 100% of their money invested in stocks. I hope you don't, because I've rarely met anyone except for the very young who can stand 100% in stocks, who can tolerate that 50% potential decline. But we'll come back to that in a minute. Let's say you're 100% in stocks, and that's your worst case. Well, you've already done over 60%, 65%, 66%, almost 70% of the worst case. You've already lived through that. It's too late to do anything about it. So do you want to do something now when there's a lot less downside left? Do you? And how about those of you who are in 80-20, 60-40, 40-60, 20-80 portfolios? Well, your losses have been smaller, and your ultimate downside is also smaller. Again, assuming we can't go to zero. So it's already happened. So what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to rebalance. This is so hard. This is why people hire investment advisors, because it's just hard to keep the discipline. But a lot of people, I'll wait, I'll rebalance, but can I wait until it gets all the way down? Well, but what if this is all the way down? What if today's all the way down, or tomorrow's all the way down, or Wednesday's all the way down? Where? How do you know which one of those days is all the way down? You can't. Discipline. Rebalance. You don't have a choice. This is what you have to do. And if you can't do it on your own, please go get yourself a darn good 100% fee-only fiduciary advisor, 100% fiduciary advisor. Please don't go to one of these insurance idiots who's selling these indexed annuities like crazy right now, promising you can get the returns of the market with none of the risk and ridiculous surrender charges, and you only make a tiny fraction of what they imply. Don't let the crooks get you, okay? Please? And keep sending in your questions. Type them in at talkingrealmoney.com using the contact form. Call them in to 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. We're going to do another online class that's coming up April 1st. We're going to do another one at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on April 1st. Again, trying to put things in perspective, looking back at what the past has been like, answering your questions there too. So go sign up for that at talkingrealmoney.com and call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 855-935-TALK. And let's take one of those calls right this very moment.
Hi, Don and Tom. It's Mike from Colorado calling. Appreciate all you guys do, and as well as your timely podcasts that always seem to help me reason out things. One comment and then a question. In these times of distress right now, I'm always trying to look for diamonds in the rough. And with my current portfolio, one thing I just decided to do was I have some IRAs and I roll them over into a Roth since the value dropped so significantly. And I'm more than willing to pay the tax next year out of pocket and then have that compound tax-free for the rest of my life. So I just thought that that was probably something proactive to do that could help me out. And if you've got any comments on that, feel free. But my main question was another thing that, and I just did this, is I always tax lost harvest at the end of the year. I usually wait to the end of the year. And fortunately, the last 2, 3, 4 years, I haven't had any because the market's been doing so well. But of course, that's all changed. So what I just did is I did tax lost harvest three funds in my taxable account. And the loss, well, it's not a technically a loss, but $100,000 is what it is. And I've transferred that into equivalent funds. Here's my question. You know, I know the IRS only lets you use $3,000 of that loss each year, and I'm 58 years old, and doing the quick math, that to me it seems like if the tax laws remain unchanged, that's 33 years of the $3,000 rolling into my tax return. Do I ever need to tax loss harvest again, or is there something I'm missing here? Hopefully you can answer that. And again, I appreciate all you guys do and stay healthy. Bye.
I think you hit the recharacterize your IRA into a Roth right on the head. You nailed it. That is a smart thing to do when it may have been a good deal to do a few months ago, but it's an even better deal now because your tax liability is going to be lower. And when we eventually recover, which is almost a given, you're going to be sitting there with your account bouncing back and growing tax-free. Smart, smart move. As for tax loss harvesting, easy to say, you're missing something. You said, am I missing something? You're missing something. If you have a $100,000 tax loss, you're right. You can only take $3,000 of that every year against your ordinary income. However, if you have accounts that are not Roth accounts, at some point, you're going to have a taxable gain, a capital gain. Well, 100% of that loss, you can carry it forward and use it any time in the future to offset a capital gain. So let's say 2 years from now, you're up 30%, you want to sell some things, you're rebalancing, and you've got a big tax gain. Well, you can use that old tax loss to offset some of that gain. So you're not missing anything with the Roth. You are with the tax loss harvesting. I don't know why that's hard to say today. Been a long couple of weeks, hasn't it? 855-935-TALK is our number, 855-935-8255. We take your questions a variety of ways, including online. And here's one about retirement investing. Tom and Don love the show. I'm planning to retire in 1 year. I will transfer my $1 million 401k to Vanguard and invest it 60-40 in VTWX, which is the Vanguard Total World Stock Index, and VBTLX, which is the Vanguard Total Bond Index. I will elect to take approximately $450,000 in a lump sum pension, which I will also transfer to Vanguard. Should I immediately invest the entire lump sum in the same 60-40 split, or would it be beneficial to have me sit the money in a money market account and invest it equally on a fixed schedule to dollar cost average? If so, how long should I stretch it out? Don't stretch it out. My answer is don't stretch it out. There is no better time to invest than today. Yes, it could go down a little more, but it's already gone down probably more than it will going forward. So you've already got a big, big sale going on. You do it when you get it. The only reason dollar cost averaging makes sense is because we earn on a dollar cost average basis. That's why I like dollar cost averaging, only because it says when you make it and you're going to invest it now. Don't sit on it until you get a lump sum to invest down the road. You have the lump sum. Invest the lump sum. Do it now. Thanks for the question. I appreciate it. 855-935-TALK is our number. And let's go back to a phone call.
Yes. My name is Rich. I have a question. I'm a civil servant. I'm invested in the thrift saving plan. And right now my money is diversified through some of the funds, but with the continued losses, my question is, what do I need to do as far as redistributing the money to limit my losses?
Well, Rich, you have the TSP, which we like. You didn't really tell me how you're diversified, where the money is, or what your risk tolerance is like. But you mentioned redistributing it. You can't really redistribute it to limit losses. Again, losses have happened, past tense. Will there be more losses? Maybe. Maybe. We don't know. But if you're well diversified, after the market has declined as much as it has, you probably have a lot more money in the fixed income as a percentage than you did 2 months ago. So you're not properly diversified necessarily. Now, if you haven't taken our risk quiz at talkingrealmoney.com, I encourage you to do that so you know what your proper allocation is between stocks and bonds. But right now, you probably have a much higher percentage of your portfolio in bonds than you intended to when you set this up. So what you want to do is take some of that money in bonds and move it into those stocks. The stock portion, whichever funds you have, CS, whatever it is, you want to move it into those and buy while the stocks are on sale. That is the smart thing to do. 855-935-TALK. Give us a call. Also, send your questions in to talkingrealmoney.com and hit the contact form. Also, don't miss the class coming up on April 1st. If you missed the last one, we had a big, big, big crowd, full house, lots of great questions. I think it was really helpful. We're going to add a couple of other things to the next one. So go sign up for it. It's free. You can sign up at talkingrealmoney.com. You can do everything at talkingrealmoney.com. Next question. This is our last one for the day. This was sent in because we just have so many, which is great. I'm not complaining. This is rebalance now or later. You know what my answer is going to be, but we're going to read it anyway. I have a highly diversified Merriman Ultimate Buy and Hold portfolio. Prior to the market drop, I was balanced. Yes, you were. Currently, I have proportionately more in my bond positions. Should I take the opportunity to balance now? To ride the wave when the market comes back? Smells like I'm trying to time the market, he says in parentheses. Or should I not do a rebalance? Eric, you know the answer, right? Yeah. Rebalance. If you're 5% off, and I bet you're more than 5, you rebalance and you do it on a schedule. You say, I'm going to do it on this date or when I reach more than 5%. And if it continues to go down, then rebalance again. But don't. You knew you were doing it. You said it. You're thinking, should I wait? Because we have this funny quirk in our little brains. We look back, and this was in the Wall Street Journal last week. We look back at the past and think we knew things that we really didn't know. Go read Jason Zweig's article in the Wall Street Journal from Saturday. We didn't know, but we think we knew. You're not going to know. It's going to happen one day. The market gets to its bottom, whatever that is, and starts to turn around, and it's not going to tell you. And it's not even going to look obvious to you. As a matter of fact, at that point, it's going to look so bleak that you think it's just going to get worse. Could be today. Could be a year from now. I don't know. But you've got an opportunity right now. I suggest taking it. And I suggest that you check out our website, talkingrealmoney.com. That you sign up for the April 1st online class. We only have 100 seats. It's free. It's called Retirement Investing in Turbulent Times. And it's a pretty good class. And it's free. So check it out. Tell your friends. Also tell your friends about the podcast because you know people are talking about money now. It's all the rage. It's either am I going to die or am I going to lose all my money? We're scared. We're trying to keep you from being too scared, at least about your money. Thank you for being there. Remember to call 855-935-TALK anytime. Send in your questions at talkingrealmoney.com. Sign up for the class. Take great care. Stay incredibly healthy. Do what you need to do. This too shall pass. I'm Don McDonald.
Talking Real Money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?